Hi, this is Jack Vaughn for the latest edition of the Talking Data podcast, and today we're calling this our Transatlantic Dispatch version because our guest is Brian McKenna, who's our colleague. He's the business applications editor at Computer Weekly over in the UK. Brian, thank you for coming on board here on the phone here.
My pleasure, Jack. Good to talk with you.
Well, I get a kick out of reading your work, and I know that very interested in some of the stories behind the stories. I know that you recently spoke with Teradata, who had done some surveys and considered some of the elements of what we're calling big data, some of the changes going on, and you saw you know, some interesting breakdowns in terms of how different countries in Europe were playing with this stuff.
I think Teradata did, or rather sponsored, quite an interesting piece of research over the summer. You always have to take vendor surveys with a bit of a pinch of salt, but actually this one impressed me as being quite open-minded and exploratory. And what we're looking at were the use of and the management of new data types the UK, France, and Germany. The research was conducted by an organization called OnePoll, and they spoke to three cohorts, so 100 in the UK, 100 in Germany, and 100 in France. And the results were as surprising to the Teradata executives as they were to me when I spoke to them on the phone. Essentially, what they found out was that the UK respondents see themselves as significantly ahead in big data analytics, but actually they're not ahead compared with either Germany or France. They found that 20% of the respondents in the UK were using three or more of the new types of data, text, video, audio, and so on, compared with nearly half, 48%, in France and Germany. Also, the British companies are less likely to be considering two or more analysis techniques, 33%, as against France and Germany, which was about 47%. And what it all seemed to suggest is that British respondents were more likely to be, if you like, hung up on the big data technologies emanating from Silicon Valley, which have a very sort of strong open source aspect to them. It might be too much to say seduced or mesmerized by those technologies, but there's something in that, whereas it seemed from the research that the French and German respondents were more interested in how to analyze big data, how to use analytical techniques to do that. So it did seem like an interesting piece of research. It's maybe not all that surprising. I mean, the UK is often caught between the US and Europe. I mean, that's a generally true thing. Nevertheless, it was interesting that the perception of the British that they were ahead was actually contradicted by the reality.
It's something we're watching over here too, and I think mesmerized is an interesting term. A lot of people did proofs of concept and so forth, and then really had a difficult path to actually doing analysis on the data that they've been gathering. Maybe the twain will meet eventually.
Yeah, could be the case there. I was thinking back to some of our own research at the end of last year, Jack. You know, our IT spending's priorities research. Now, that did seem to suggest that the UK was ahead in terms of implementing big data initiatives in 2014. The figure for the UK was 23%. The figure for Europe was 17%. But I suppose what this Teradata research was breaking down was the difference between those who are implementing big data initiatives that were very much about MapReduce, very much about the Hadoop stack, and also about using the NoSQL databases rather than the analysis end and putting all of that in some sort of business context with a business value. And that seems to be the difference that the Teradata research pulled out.
Well, that again plays to some things we're seeing. It has been a case where all this new technology has somewhat obscured the existing and the traditional and business intelligence. I know that I was looking at some of your work. You spoke recently with the head of MicroStrategy, and that is certainly a poster child for business intelligence. Did you talk with them about the upheaval we're seeing today in these areas of analytics and so forth?
Yeah, I had an interesting conversation with Jonathan Klein, who's the president and chief legal officer. He's a lawyer by background, Jonathan Klein, at MicroStrategy. I've been with the company for quite some time. And that was in the wake of their user conference in Barcelona. Now, I put to him the idea that companies like his could be said to constitute a kind of an old guard of business intelligence. You know, they've been around since 1989, MicroStrategy. And more recently, you've got the rise of the data discovery vendors like Qlik and Tableau, and there are others. And also you've got their old sparring partners from back in the day, like Cognos, Business Objects, and Hyperion, which are obviously all part of the mega vendors now. And then you've got maybe a company like Burst, who are offering business intelligence in the cloud. So there's a lot of ferment in the business intelligence scene. Now, his counter to this imputation of being part of an old guard was precisely that they have been around means that they do have an impressive customer base all across the world. And also they've hardly been laggards in the sense that they would say that they were first into the mobile analytics field, and they are making significant moves in the cloud too, both by themselves and with Amazon. I also wanted to talk to him about a topic that's very close to our hearts as we write about corporate IT, which is to what extent MicroStrategy wants to get beyond selling to corporate IT and to begin to, well, not begin to, but sell to line of business more and more. Now, the answer, as ever, is obviously they want to do both right.
Yeah.
And he did say that their technology does make IT the hero, makes IT look good. But that's an interesting kind of phenomenon, I think, for our readerships, the extent to which these suppliers are looking to line of business as almost an index of how much progress that they're making strategically with the organizations that they deal with.
You had mentioned Upstart's Tableau and ClickView. Is it fair to say that their entry is often through the line of business?
Yes, it is. That would be fair to say. They often have that sort of land and expand strategy of getting around corporate IT, and then taking it from there, or maybe going back to corporate IT afterwards. But yes, that has been their point of entry. Interestingly, I did another interview over the summer with the relatively new chief executive of Burst, who mainly a cloud BI vendor, Jay Larson. Now, Jay's pitch was more or less something like, the data silo problem is as bad now as it's ever been, that the traditional paradigm of data warehousing and business intelligence has not solved that problem, and that now you've got these rogue business intelligence developments that are coming from line of business, that are coming from marketing, from other functions that have money to spend on IT. And his kind of argument was that his company and his technology is able to be the friend to corporate IT in mitigating that problem. Of course, he would say that.
Is he saying that the cloud is the integration hub for all these different?
Yes, that's as I understand it, the value proposition. He was postulating the possibility of corporate IT being able to regain control and reassert governance over an organization's information assets, something that's, you know, been hugely problematized by, you know, reaching out to the likes of Tableau and Qlik and so on and so forth. Of course, Qlik and Tableau, I'm sure, would counter that they do governed data discovery, so they're no strangers to making the case for reintroducing governance or reasserting governance.
They probably wouldn't call their applications rogue applications either.
No, they would not do that.
Well, Brian, we covered a lot of ground, and at this point, I would just want to be sure to thank you.